And now we head to Appleton to check on the Fox City's COVID vaccine clinic that opened this week. The clinic is at the Exhibition Center, is open by appointment to people who are 65 and older in the Tri-County area. But everything hinges on a steady vaccine supply. And demand, as you can imagine, far outstrips supply. Is a vaccine clinic opening near you? Have you been able to secure an appointment? What questions do you have about opening a local community clinic to administer vaccines? It's 800-642-1234. Kurt Eggebrecht is health officer for the city of Appleton. He's been on the job for over 20 years. Kurt, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on as a guest.
Well, this vaccine clinic is the combined effort of Outagamie, Winnebago, and Calumet counties. You have other healthcare system partners in this. Tell us about the collaboration, the cooperation involved to stand up this operation.
Yes, we, in addition to the three you mentioned, we also have Menasha Health Department. So we have five health departments in our Tri-County area that are collaborating along with Ascension Health System, Theta Care Health System, Mosaic Family Health Clinic, Kokona Family Clinic, Primary Care Associates, our Federal Qualified Partnership Community Health Center, and Fox Valley Technical College. So we're really leveraging established relationships within our community to develop a way that we can vaccinate more people more efficiently.
How did you organize yourself so quickly?
Well, I think it is that established relationships. These are people we've worked with as partners for decades, and it's just coming together to say, how can we do this better? And it really was an opportunity with the facility that really lends itself for this use.
I understand the available appointments this week were booked within, 15 minutes of going live. Did that rush surprise you?
Well, we knew there was a demand, and certainly we knew that we had limited vaccines. So surprised perhaps just in the amount of people that came through in those first 13 minutes that people were in queue and ready to push that button for their appointment. I think just demonstrates the interest and the demand that's really out there for this vaccine.
Let's talk numbers. How many people have been vaccinated this week, the first week?
Well, we had 3 days. Again, it was limited to the vaccine. So we went just over 1,000 people in those 3 days this week. That was Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We completed our activities yesterday.
Let's talk supply chain. How do you know how many doses you're going to get week to week?
Well, we, again, leveraging these partnerships, we have vaccine supplies that we know are coming to our healthcare partners, and we order with health departments as well. And so we have communicated to the state that this is a partnership with five health departments, and this is a community clinic that is serving a Tri-County region. And I think the state and their allocation has recognized the value of this collaborative approach. And so we've been fortunate with the supplies we've gotten, and we look forward to even more in the future.
And when do you confirm how many supplies you will get for the following week?
It's usually over the weekend. So you order on Tuesday, and you get notified over the weekend, and the vaccine becomes available typically on Monday.
How did this first week go?
You know, our planning assumptions were very good. We had a chance to do a closed dispensing pod the week before where we finished our 1A eligible people. So we used correction officers, sheriff's department, key people in the front line of healthcare as a way of testing our assumptions. And then we ramped up from 300 to 1,000 this week. And really, everything worked very well. We're utilizing the ICS structure as a way of communicating and having team leads in each section. That worked very well. The only enhancement we really looked at was in our release of people that we got into a cadence and a rhythm that kept everyone's appointment, but had the flow through the clinic where no one had to sit and wait. And that was really the only tweak that we made. So we're very pleased to this point.
Were any vaccines wasted?
No, that is primary on our list. So what we do is know we have this limit, and yesterday was a challenging day weather-wise. So what we did in advance of Wednesday evening was to plan who is remaining in 1As throughout the Tri-County area that had the ability to come to the clinic if an opportunity arose. So we had people in queue, so to speak, that if there was somebody that canceled their appointment or a no-show, that we could utilize that vaccine for an eligible person.
Oh, wow. So you had fill-ins waiting in the wings.
Correct.
Yeah. Did you use any of those fill-in appointments?
Yes. We had an opportunity to vaccinate members of the clergy. We targeted some of the African heritage, brought about 30 people that they identified at high risk. We had some social workers. We had some volunteers that will help us as this clinic grows from the technical college and their nursing program. So it was a good use of that vaccine that we had.
Will you continue to use standby, if you will, want to call it standby appointments, in the coming weeks, regardless of weather?
Yeah, I think we that's part of our planning, because this is such a valuable commodity, but we want to be true to the guidelines of the state that we reach out ahead of time to people who are eligible to receive this vaccine. And that's the process that we'll continue to use.
You know, about 4,700 new appointments were added without there being vaccines available when you opened up your appointment opportunity. What happened there?
Yeah, so we're working with a multitude of collaborators on this clinic. And to no fault of anyone's, the expectation that system would be able to be capped off at 1,000 obviously didn't go as planned, but we quickly caught it. I mean, it was all within 20 minutes. So it was a situation where we have those names and we're going to address those folks in this coming week and the following week, and we think we can close that gap within 2 weeks.
Kurt Egebrecht is Appleton's health officer. He's serving as incident commander for the Fox Cities COVID vaccine clinic that opened this week at the Fox Cities Exhibition Center. Did you get your COVID vaccination in Appleton? What was the experience like? Are you planning to get vaccinated? What concerns or questions do you have about the process? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Kurt Egebrecht here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Let's get back to our conversation now with Appleton's health officer, Kurt Egebrecht. The Fox Cities COVID vaccine clinic opened Tuesday with the goal of vaccinating 1,000 people this week. Thousands more ended up on the waiting list, will get vaccinated their first doses in coming weeks. We're looking at what it takes to run a community vaccination program where everything is dictated by a reliable, consistent vaccine supply. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Kurt, walk us through the clinic, if you would. What does it look like for people who come into the convention center to get vaccinated?
Yeah, so that same planning group that we talked about, these collaborative partnerships, we together came and talked about who within the eligibility group do we want to focus on? So we met with our hospital leaders and they shared the data of who is being hospitalized and who unfortunately is disproportionately dying of this disease. So we targeted 65 and above at this point in time with the clinic as our priority group. So knowing that, we have developed a clinic that is efficient yet safe and taking into account the unique needs of that population. So to begin at the start of the clinic, we have what we're calling a concierge service that meets them at curbside. We have handicap parking. We have drop-off parking that allows those that need it, a wheelchair and assistance through the clinic. We have a wonderful facility that allows elevators and escalators. So it's an easy onboarding process. They have appointments, so it's just simply going to check in. Identifying their name and their appointment time. And if they're a little early, we have a wait area for about 60 people that we're calling the queue area, where oftentimes this group arrives 10 to sometimes a half hour or more early. And so those who are a half hour or more, we have a separate conference room that they can comfortably wait in and wait for their appointment time. And then we just release them on an orderly flow, a cadence that corresponds to the number of vaccinators that we have. So after check-in, they are assisted down into the documentation area where they get their knowledge of the vaccine. They get their consent form. They go into, if you can visualize, a very large exposition center, where a ballroom A is, where they meet up with screeners. They fill out their consent form, and we have a team of health educators that assist where needed. Then we have a team of they're retired physicians and public health nurses that serve as educators. So if there's a question about health status, those can be addressed. Next, they move into the vaccination area where they receive the vaccine. And we have established 30 booths for that to happen. We're not at that capacity due to the vaccine, but we're building to the future. And then they go into what we're calling the observation room, where we have EMS from our fire department that help. There's an observation of 15 minutes for most people, 30 for those who have had previous reactions to vaccines. And then they're released. And so the whole process is very, very efficient. About 40 minutes time is what the average person takes, including that observation period.
In another state, we heard about a community vaccination site using a calendar scheduling app to set appointments and enter people's personal data. How are you ensuring that people's health information and their confidential records are staying confidential?
Yeah, so moving forward, we have a new system that we'll be releasing today at 9 o'clock. That will take that 4,700 group that you just described earlier, where we'll be reaching out and assigning them appointments. So they'll start receiving those emails at 9 this morning, and we'll be releasing those at a manageable rate that they have the ability to accept or decline. And we'll pre-book them for their appointments next week, and then we automatically have a date certain for them to know when they need to come back. And we just feel that way it protects that information you're talking about. There's no information that they're sharing with us. So for the interim, that will be the process that we'll use. And then look to the future when the state has a registration process that we can integrate into.
How can you be assured that the people you are vaccinating are 65 and older?
Well, what we have done is use the honor system. And you know, there's other ways of doing that, but we haven't experienced that. People are very respectful. Clearly, from our experience these last 3 days, I think people realize that this is the group that needs the vaccine the most, and we haven't had any issues where we had to even suspect that people weren't following those guidelines.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Kurt Eggebrecht, who serves as health officer for the city of Appleton. He's been in that capacity for decades, and he's explaining the work of opening up a community vaccination effort for people 65 and over in Appleton and what that is like to stand up a facility with vaccines to the community. You can join in with your questions about getting the vaccine and what you've experienced in scheduling your vaccination. 800-642-1234. Kurt, what about PPE for the people who are working in this facility, as well as mask wearing for the people coming to get vaccinated?
Yes, great question. So we have a large cadre of volunteers that we work with. The vaccination and the vaccine prep, you know, they're coming from agencies where they're already bringing their own PPE. So the pharmacists, the nurses that are participating here, they already have PPE, but we do supply it for our non-medical personnel, and we do have as a requirement anyone that comes to this facility must wear a mask. We're very in tune to the 6-foot distancing throughout the whole process, and that's why that cadence of release is important to us, and that people are able to adhere to their appointment times, because that allows us to maintain that distancing.
What is it like to watch through your eyes? What is it like to see people getting vaccinated as a health officer after a year into this pandemic?
Yeah, I don't think I can clearly articulate the joy. It's been a long haul in terms of telling people to wear a mask and doing contact tracing and quarantining and isolation. And so this is turning a page where the optimism and the enthusiasm is it's just hard to describe.
How long do you anticipate the clinic in the exhibition center will operate?
I think we'll be at this till there's no longer a demand. And I would anticipate that would be probably June, July of this year. And if at that point in time there isn't demand, I think then the healthcare systems, this is in addition to what healthcare systems are doing. So there'll still be a network of opportunities throughout the community. But when we recognize there's no longer demand for a community clinic, then we will demobilize it.
My guess is you're working just week to week at this point.
Yeah, but we're planning for the future. And one of those partnerships I'm just so excited about is Fox Valley Technical College. You know, they train people in logistics and supply. They train nursing students. They train law enforcement. So we're tapping into all of our community resources to assist in how do we continually do quality improvement? How do we get better at this? And so it's really leveraging all of the resources in our region to assist in this effort.
Kurt, what has the pandemic taught you about our public health systems in Wisconsin?
Well, if I can be honest, I think it's a demonstration of how we've been defunded over the years. You know, I have a 42-year career in public health, and it was very different 40 years ago. And I think this is a wake-up call, perhaps, for our legislature and others in the state to take note. And we are doing our very best. But if we had more staff, I think this response might have looked a little different. And so I think that's the realization that I have seen, is that there's consequences when you defund programs and services. And we probably are learning that lesson through this pandemic.
Kurt, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Kurt Eggebrecht is health officer for the city of Appleton. Just ahead, we'll look at President Biden's proposal to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour over the course of 4 years and what it could mean for workers in the economy. Are you working a minimum wage job? What is your quality of life like? 800-642-1234. Join in. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.